Blog Talk Radio.
I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP. Radio.
Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to a brand new episode of DDP Radio Live right here at ddpradio.com. As usual, my name is Michael V. Mullins, broadcasting live from the DDP Radio Megaplex, and as I beam my way up all the way to the top of the tower, of the top of the tallest building in the tallest part of all of Raleigh, North Carolina, and I stand on the ledge and climb up that tower and look to the great white north in the skies of Ontario, Canada, on top of the mountain, on top of the mountain, on top of Mount Ontario is a light, a beaming, shining light coming through the windows of the majestic castle overlooking the Canadian skies. And I look to that light, and that light shines towards my way. The two lights combine, and boom, blasting DDP Radio out throughout the atmosphere. And, of course, that could not be done with the one, the only, my favorite co-host, the one and only, Crystal Stewart. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am peaches.
I have a castle now. Who knew?
yeah, I know. You've been upgraded. Officially got a castle on top of your fictitious mountain that we just made up for the purpose
right?
of the show.
right?
It's funny. Years ago, we should be like, if we're not going to, it's not going to be real, you can at least make it as top-notch as possible. My grandmother years ago had Alzheimer's. And one year, my mom took over her, like, finances and checkbooks and stuff. And on Christmas, she wanted to give us something, but she didn't have a lot of money. And my mom was like, listen, we're going to have her write out checks to you, and we'll give them to you guys as Christmas presents, but don't cash them. She just wants to give you a check. It was a sweet thing. But my brother looks down at the check and goes, Jesus, she's not even giving us real money. She can give us more than 10 bucks. So that just reminded me of, like, well, we got a nice castle on a fake mountain. Might as well get upgrade you to a castle. It's not going to cost us anything.
See, you remember that, and I have the theme of the Jeffersons going through my head right now.
moving on up. we're moving on up. See, look at that. Look at that. Perfect transition. Because I know for a fact that you happen to have a really special guest for the show tonight as our DDPY Warrior of the Week, and this particular person is staying up late to be with us tonight, and I think he dropped off. Okay, well, if he is here, call us back, I guess, because he was showing up here,
right.
And now he's not. But, Crystal, can you let's do the intro now and see if he calls back
sure.
in here.
Okay.
But why don't you tell us who we have on the line tonight?
Sure. Let's hope he gets back on the line. Tonight, Mike and I are happy to welcome Steve Hyland to the show. We appreciate Steve taking the time to talk to us, as we know just how late it is in the UK right now. Steve has an amazing story about effort, resilience, and ultimately change. It is important to make a degree of peace with yourself. If you put in consistent effort, even if you feel like it's not enough at the time, change will come. Effort is not rewarded by a one-day grand gesture. It happens in a million different ways at a million different times. Small ways at first. Ultimately, the old you is still you, and it's going to be easy to slip into old habits. That is why doing something positive every single day is one of the best things that you can do for yourself. Getting to know yourself is one of the best gifts you can give yourself. Please welcome to the show, all the way from the UK, my friend, Steve Hyland.
Well, Steve disappeared, so we're going to try to see if we can get him back on the line. But, you know, we got the intro done, so if Steve hears this and is calling back in, we'll plug you back in when you get on the line. But until then, let's just stall. Now,
He said that he was in, but he was kicked back out, getting booted.
Yeah, I don't know. He was showing up there for a second, and I don't know really what to do. So, let's see. All right, does he have the guest call-in number that we do, the 347-994-1216? Well, I guess we will just try to stall and figure it out. The system is kind of, you know, it works on its own. So if it's not working, there's really nothing we can do about it on air. So I don't really know.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So Steve, 347-994-1216 and press 1. We can try to get you back on the line, and if not, we'll figure. We'll see what we should do.
Yeah.
But you know, it may be something to do with the Steve is over in the UK, so it's really late over there. I don't know if that's affecting things or what. You know, the international aspect of the show, but we've had a lot of people over in the UK on before, so I have no idea. But, you know, Crystal, I know we were talking about Steve earlier today, and you shared me his story, which, you know, we were so excited about having him on. You sent me these incredible story of Steve becoming a member of the DDPY community, a level one instructor, and you know, I know you go through quite a process to find the best possible stories for people in the DDPY community. And I'm just going to ask you, I'll interview you right now and say, what brought you to look into Steve and deciding like, oh, man, this is going to be a great episode of the show to have him on with us.
So the process is, it's time intensive. It because there's, you know as well as I know that the community has gotten so big that it is next to impossible to keep tabs on absolutely everybody. So, I mean, I pull a little bit of word of mouth, but really for the most part, it's me just, you know, going through social media. And then if somebody's name pops up a couple of times or, you know, there's a lot of discussion about said person, that usually starts it off. So Steve was one of those people.
And it's so cool because this is one of those communities that just it grows to, you know, we're all over the world. You literally look at the map of who listens to DP Radio, and we have every continent, basically every country, and that's just a small subset of the entire DDPY community as a whole. And it's crazy the reaches that it goes. And it used to be such a close-knit community. It was very few people actually here. And to see it grow and be able to go across the country, I've gone across the country and seen people in DDPY shirts. So it's incredible the reach that everyone has and the cultures that we kind of, you know, we bring into this little world that we have in DDPY.
I mean, it just goes to prove that, you know, the good thing, you know, good things spread fast like wildfire. So I know just for me and you know, booking in the Europeans or, you know, Australia or wherever we're booking. Yeah, it's a bit mind-boggling sometimes, but, you know, you stop and think, wow, the reach of this is huge. And wasn't the WWE, they were just in, where was it, France?
Yeah, I think so. I think they did the pay-per-view over in France this week.
Yeah, and I mean, it was amazing. They did such a great job, and the crowds were electric. And I mean, it just goes to prove that, you know, North America doesn't hold the rights to this anymore. It's kind of a global thing.
Absolutely. Crystal, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I really would like to get Steve on here. Do you have, could you text me his email address if he's listening? Because I might be able to send him an invitation through that. That might work.
Okay.
But,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. We apologize to anyone who is listening right now. We're having a little bit of a problem getting our guest on the line, and it's just Crystal and I here, so troubleshooting that while also trying to keep from having dead air can be a little difficult. So for a little bit rambly, that's what I have to do right now. But we're going to try to salvage this and get Steve on for you, because we're really excited to chat with him. And if not, we'll have to figure something out. But we appreciate you sticking with us, and really appreciate Steve hanging on with us too. I know it's very, very late over there. The time difference, it's probably about 2 a.m. where he is, maybe even later. And, you know, back when Hayden was one of the co-hosts on the show and stuff, we always used to understand how difficult it was having that kind of time zone difference over there. We do appreciate him sticking with us.
Okay, I'm sending you a text message right now.
Okay, I'm going to do this little invite thing, and I don't know if Steve is listening or can hear us. Oh, okay.
Can you send it
in text form? Because I couldn't, I have to copy it. I can't get it via photo. I've got my screen used.
Okay, give me a second.
Oh, thank you. All right. Like I said, we apologize, everybody. We're going to try to get this ship back on course for tonight. So, actually, I'm going to pause us for a little bit and mute our audio until we can figure this out, so I can actually focus on getting this working instead of trying to keep from dead air. So
okay.
We'll be back in just a second. Anyone listening to this, thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you'll stick with us, and hopefully we'll be back on the air with Steve soon. So I'm going to pause this here, and see you in a minute.
Okay.
Hello. Can you hear?
All right. We're back, everybody. Thank you guys for holding on with us. And we're really excited that we made this work. And to be honest, I went into the control room of Blog Talk Radio, you know, replugged in everything and fixed it myself. So I just want to thank you guys for holding on. Crystal, I know you just did the intro, so without any further ado, we're going to cut right to the chase and bring on our guest all the way from across the pond, they say. Steve Hyland, how are you, man?
Hi, yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for bearing with us, and thank you for everything that you unplugged and plugged back in to make this happen. yeah, I was seeing it. I don't have much hair, but I've been pulling my beard out, trying to get this call connected. I really didn't want to let you guys down. So, yeah, thank you so much for your patience in getting that sorted.
No, absolutely.
You couldn't let
thank
us
you.
Down.
Thank you, man. And, no, we're really excited to have you on here. And, you know, I'm just going to go right to it. We usually don't have any roadmap. We kind of call it in the ring. But one standard question we have is every warrior, every superhero needs an origin story. Tell us what got Steve Hyland to the point where he was going to try DDPY for the first time, and where were you at, and what made you take that journey?
Yeah, I guess I'm probably like a lot of other people that you speak to, actually, in the, you know, my origin story goes back a really, really long way. So, you know, don't worry, I'm not going to take you year through year. You know, I'm 46. We've only got a limited amount of time. But, you know, I was always a big kid, and I was always, you know, really importantly, made to feel like a big kid. So, you know, from the age of five onwards, being bigger became part of my identity. And, you know, that's something that has come back to haunt me a little bit later in life. But in terms of milestones that got me where I am today, you know, unfortunately, my dad died when I was 14. And he died young. He was only 43. And it was actually his second heart attack that killed him. And I can see now that actually what I did back through my teens was eat a lot of my grief. And then when I was 16, I also discovered beer. And because I was bigger, I could drink a hell of a lot of beer. And obviously that's got a lot of calories in it too. So actually, I kind of lost control a little bit. And when I left home, went off to university at 18, I definitely sort of threw myself into that student lifestyle. And one of those things was not really thinking about what I was feeding myself. So everything that I ate was sort of convenient, really highly processed food. You know, I could quite happily eat a loaf of bread or a whole tub of ice cream in one sitting. And then I'd always eat fast food on the way home from the pub. So I got into this cycle where actually, I lost control a little bit. And I think probably what was behind all of that is that I didn't expect to live. So, you know, I saw my dad die at 43. I thought, you know what, look at the state of me. There's no way I'm even going to get to 40. So why do I even bother trying here? Why don't I just enjoy the time that I've got? And, you know, it was kind of that short-term satisfaction thing that I was chasing all of the time. So I probably topped out on the scales at about 315, 320 pounds. And that sort of big Steve mentality from when I was a kid really took root sort of when I was in my late teens, early 20s, when I was just called Big Steve. You know, people wouldn't call me Steve. I would just be Big Steve. So it was always part of me. And, you know, I've shared something in the DDPY groups recently. You know, I had that experience that I'm sure will be familiar to other people, where I was at a theme park and I was getting removed from rides because they couldn't close things over me to keep me safe in rides. And, you know, that sense of shame just drove me to do some really, really stupid things and really silly behavior to try and cover up what was actually going on. So I always felt judged, and you know, experiences like that one at the theme park just sort of reinforced that feeling of everybody's looking at me, everybody's thinking, there's Steve, there's the big guy, and I didn't want to live up to what their expectations of me might be. So I tried to be physical, I tried to be sporty, I played rugby, I played some lacrosse at university as well, but more importantly, I tried not to live up to what I thought they would think I would do in terms of eating. So going out to restaurants was always really difficult. I didn't want to order what I wanted to eat because I thought actually people are going to be expecting me to order these massive meals and just binge myself silly. So I'm going to order something really, really small. I'm really, really healthy looking, like a salad. And then on my way home from the restaurant or when I got home, I would just eat myself stupid. So it was all kind of that vicious cycle where I was being sucked further and further down. And I met my wife when I was about 25. We were at a mutual friend's house, and you know, I was still ashamed. I remember the first moment I met her. She walked into the room. I'm sitting in the corner eating a doner kebab. Okay, and that was pretty standard for me. Now, she swears she didn't notice that, but again, in my head, I was being judged all the time, and it was really life limiting. We did get married, but it wasn't until I hit 30 that I made a real effort. So my wife was pregnant with our first daughter, and you know, very happily we've got two now. But I was hit by this overwhelming urge that I didn't want to leave her as a widow in the way that my mum had been. And I didn't want to leave my child without a father in the way that I'd been left. And I didn't know what to do. And you know, I wasn't part of any online communities. I didn't really know how to feed myself. I wasn't very educated about health and nutrition. And you know, we talk a lot about community, and you guys here do a brilliant thing to sort of build that community and support that community. But I didn't have any of that. So I didn't feel like I had anyone in my corner, really. So I did the only thing that I thought was available to me, and I went to see my doctor. And he didn't really have any sensible advice for me, really. You know, it was good to talk to him. It was good that he understood what I was trying to do, but he didn't really give me any solid advice. So I was kind of left wandering a little bit in terms of, okay, well, how am I going to do this? And the only bit of advice that he gave me was, you need to come back and see me in 6 months and we'll see how you're getting on. If you're really serious about this, come back in 6 months. So I did that. I walked a lot. I just did really, really restrictive calorie intakes because I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was that I was going to go back and I wanted to prove myself. And I did that. But it was still sort of born out of ignorance. So, you know, like I say, I just ate as little as I could get away with, and the weight kind of came off pretty quickly, because when you start that high, it does fall off. And for a while that felt great. But one of the things that I wasn't expecting, and this is getting me to how I got into DDPY. Sorry, I know I go around the houses, but we're getting there, folks.
No, please.
So,
give it a whole story.
So that weight loss actually made something else a little bit more apparent. And what I found is that I was getting this really debilitating pain in my neck, my shoulders, and my upper back. And it was so bad that, you know, I've got a young family at this point and I can't even sit around the dinner table for the duration of a meal with them. It's absolute agony. I'm having to abandon the table and just go and lay flat on the floor in another room to try and sort myself out. And I thought it was probably an old rugby injury. But I got to a stage where I thought I need to go and get some help with this. And I went to a chiropractor. And it was that standard thing of, okay, Steve, take your shirt off. And then he sort of has a wander around, and then he just stopped in front of me, pointed at my chest and said, how long has that been like that? Which is a really weird question for someone in that kind of profession to ask. But I didn't really know how to respond to that because I'd not really looked at, you know, I didn't want to look at my body. I didn't have any didn't have many photos at all of myself at that larger size, certainly not with no shirt on. So basically what he went on to explain is, I've got this fist-sized indentation in my chest, and it's a twisted sternum. And what that means practically for me is that the default position for my shoulders is they want to hunch forward and in, which is what was causing all of this pain. And obviously I'm sitting around the table with my family and I'm saying, come on, kids, sit up straight while you're eating. And I'm trying to sit up straight, and that's what's causing me stupid amounts of pain. So then I've got this other thing that I need to deal with. I've lost some weight, which is great, but now I've got this other issue. And I think what happened on reflection is, when I lost weight, I lost a lot of muscle too, and my core just couldn't cope with the day-to-day pressures that I was putting on it, really. And interestingly, what the chiropractor said is that he thinks one of two things happened when I was younger. He thinks either my mum dropped me, which she's never owned up to, and you know, probably didn't, and I'll take her word for that. I don't think she'll listen to this, so I think I'll be fairly safe telling you that. So either my mum dropped me, or at that point in my teens, when I piled on a lot of weight very quickly, because my skeleton was still forming, it basically buckled under the weight that I was putting on it at that stage. And that's what's left me with this condition. And the surgical correction for it is ridiculously invasive. So it's a proper crack you open, move things about and stitch you back together thing. And I really didn't want to go down that route. And by the time we get to this point, we're in 2017. So here we go, folks. We're getting to the crux of it now. But we're in 2017, and I grew up watching the Federation years. So it was WWF when I was watching it. And I remember my first match, I remember sitting in a friend's house and I watched the Killer Bees. I was just gobsmacked by the fact that these guys were wearing identical masks and they were getting in and out the ring, fooling the referee. Never seen anything like it. That wasn't what I was used to seeing on Saturday afternoon wrestling here in the UK. But that means that I grew up with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Mr. Perfect, Andre the Giant, Brutus Beefcake, and Jake the Snake. And when the resurrection of Jake the Snake hit Amazon Prime, I was attracted. Okay, so I had no idea that DDP was involved. I didn't know anything at all about DDP yoga, but I was just entranced by this documentary, and I was watching it with my wife. And when it finished, I turned to my wife and said, maybe I should give this a go. And it was an absolute last resort for me. I didn't want surgery, but I didn't want to live with the pain that I'd got anymore. The chiropractor basically said, you're going to need to come back and see me every 4 months just to get some relief. And I didn't want to carry on living like that. So I was right at the end of my tether in terms of managing pain. I ordered the DVDs. I found a couple of bootleg workouts on YouTube, which you won't find now if you're looking for them, because obviously copyright's caught up a little bit. And while I was waiting for them, the DVDs to arrive, I was hitting those workouts on YouTube. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what I was doing. Dallas wasn't on screen. I was trying to follow cues that I didn't really understand. I'm pretty sure that I was doing it all completely wrong most of the time, but it started to get me moving. I didn't know if I was going to stick with it or not, in all honesty. And when the DVDs arrived, I didn't even buy a mat for the first month. I was on my living room carpet because I just wasn't sure whether this was going to work for me. But after 6 weeks, I was pain-free. And I've not looked back since. So I've been with the program now for 7 years. It inspired me to go on and train as an instructor as well. So I'm level one certified. I'm teaching weekly in my local community. I've got about 10 to 20 people that are coming and doing classes with me each week. And the fact that I've benefited from this program means that I just want to pay that forward now. I did some other things alongside it over the last couple of years as well. So I trained as a public health champion for my local council. So I do some work in the community, sort of giving people advice and guidance on a range of sort of health and well-being issues. And one of the things that I had the chance to do with that was to bid for some funding. And actually, I got funding to pay all of my room hire for the whole of 2023. So I got to teach completely free. In 2023, which was really important because I live in quite a deprived area as well. And, people just don't have disposable income to sort of prioritize their health and well-being. So the fact that I was able to do this for free has just brought program that might never have come anywhere close to it. And they've gone on to do some, magnificent things as a result of it as well. I've had one of my students ran the London Marathon it was 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
He ran it in under 4 hours. He's 50. It was always a dream of his that he would do that. But he credits his classes with me and this program for helping him do that. And it's just, it's immensely powerful. I've got other students, I've got my oldest student is 73. The fact that she can still tie her shoes is just as worth celebrating as the other guy's marathon run. We've all got different goals. We've all got different things we want to achieve. And this program is helping people on a whole range of levels to just do things that they wouldn't have thought possible for themselves. So yeah, I'm massively grateful for it. And I wouldn't have found it without that Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary, because the DDPY brand is not massive over here. We're growing, and that's brilliant. But I'm just, you know, I'm just so grateful that, Dallas and Steve put the effort into producing that documentary, because it's absolutely transformed my life.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. That's everything. And I want to talk, I want to mention something you said there. What I love about you and I love about your story is you talked about being, you know, obese and not knowing where to turn and looking for guidance and doctors, and they try their best, but you know, it's hard. They give you this, you know, oh, well, you had to eat healthy and work out. I'm like, well, I've been fat my whole life and I know I need to eat healthy and work out since I was 2 years old. That's not a great resource when you're dealing with that. But here you are looking for the community and looking for somebody to take your problem seriously and look for guidance, and you couldn't find it. And when you did find it, now you've given back to the people that need it. Now you're going out there and you're not just, you know, complaining about it. You're putting your money where your mouth is, and you're going out into the community to help people and try to communicate that in a way that you couldn't find at the time. That's so incredible, man.
Yeah, I feel a responsibility to do that. And that's why, you know, not only with the DDPY stuff, but the other training that I've had around nutrition and, you know, debt counseling and addiction and everything else kind of falls into that. It doesn't, the role that I've got with the local authority, it doesn't mean I'm an expert on all of this stuff, but it means that they train me on a continual basis, and I'm kind of outreach into the community on their behalf. And what I'm able to do is help people access support that's available for them in a way that, you know, no one was there to show me that support that was available to me. So I'm really trying to be that bridge now to help people, you know, make some really positive changes in their lives.
The misconception a lot of times is that people aren't willing. A lot of people are willing. They just don't know how the first thing about starting or what they can do or what's available to them. When this is so new and foreign to you, it's really hard to dig your heels in. But there's a lot of people that are ready for change and want to change and need someone like you who can put people in touch with the way to go.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are a whole load of barriers. There's the education side of not knowing what to do. There's sort of family history stuff. You know, I don't blame my mum for this at all, but, you know, I can see why convenience food was so important for our family as I was growing up, because she was a single mum trying to raise two boys in their teens, and she was trying to work as well, so actually we did things like, you know, if you want an omelette, don't worry about breaking eggs and making it yourself, we can get a frozen one in a box and stick it in the microwave. So, you know, I get that, and I don't judge my mum for that, and I don't judge anyone else for that, because we all fall back to things like that when we don't really know any better, and we've got other barriers and misconceptions about it being more expensive to eat in a healthy manner, and it's that kind of stuff that I'm just trying to help break down a little bit for people and just give them a steer. And even things like the DDPY nutrition plans, phase one is so straightforward that actually that gives you some really a really easy framework to make decisions about what you can and can't eat. So, you know, I'm one of those people where I'm quite time poor. So I normally am in a position where I have to make, you know, fairly quick decisions about what I'm going to eat. And, you know, my rule of thumb is it's got to look like real food. And, you know, that's the key, that's the core of phase one nutrition plan, isn't it? If it looks like it's grown in the ground or been cut off an animal or fallen off a tree, great, go for it. My nutrition plan is really that simple. And that's the kind of way that I'll frame it for people when they're looking for that initial advice about, you know, how can I make some really easy to implement changes here? And the programs equip me with the knowledge and skills to pass on in that regard as well. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm a massive advocate for everything that DDPY does.
That's awesome. I have a question that we routinely ask many people here, just simply because it's a very interesting question. What would new Steve say to old Steve if you were given that chance?
Yeah, I've thought about this one a lot, because it's one that Pat McDermott, bless him, asks us in the Positively Unstoppable Challenge each year as well. And, you know, the first year that I was in that challenge, my goal was to obliterate that former version of me. And I was really judgmental. I was really bitter. I was really angry about the position that I found myself in because of the choices that that guy made. And then I kind of evolved a little bit last year, and I realized that, you know, where was my compassion there? You know, this guy didn't have advice. He didn't have help. He didn't have support, but he knew he wanted to change, and he did what was in his power to do it. And you know what? He did well. So what I would say to that version of me is, I'm proud of you. You're taking some responsibility here. You don't quite know how you're going to get the results at the moment, but you've made a really positive decision. You're doing some decent things. Yeah, we're going to need to tweak that a bit as we go through, but you're doing what you should be doing. And that for me was a real breakthrough from last year, because like we've said, I didn't have that advice. I didn't have that background. You know, my education didn't prepare me for nutritional cooking as well. And I've got to stop being so judgmental about that version of me. And, you know, I said this to someone last year, that version of me is still the guy that my wife fell in love with. And, you know, she's great, and she knows what's good. So, you know, if she saw something of value in me there, then I need to see something of value in me from that point in my life too.
Good point.
Well, yeah, that's a beautiful answer, man. I love that. And it's such an honest and realistic approach. You know, a lot of people, when they lose weight, their first thing is to just, I don't want to be who I was. Or I completely want to blow that guy out of the water, like you said. I related a lot to your initial story too. You know, being the big guy, I always used my weight as, you know, as a defense mechanism. But also, I realized that I didn't feel like I was using it to avoid bullying. People liked me, and I didn't realize that at the time. Like, people actually liked me. And once I lost weight, I kind of lost – I didn't know how to be my identity without the fat guy, because that was always my first thing. So my first instinct was to go the other way. I'm going to be kind of a cocky prick. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I tried to, like, you know, change my perception. And then I realized the whole time that, like, people liked me when I was fat. People liked me, and they saw something in me. And now I can still be me without, you know, being the same person. But it's a hard balance when you start to change as a person to find out where you are and what you're trying to be, and if you're trying to do hard to be something else. It's kind of a battle to figure all that out when you first, you know, lose weight and get healthy.
Yeah, and I think it's not only hard for us, it's hard for the people that are around us as well. So, you know, you talk about those people that liked you, and they're seeing all of these massive changes in people that they love, people that they've probably known for a really long time. And, you know, my friends thought I was ill. So, you know, when I lost weight, the default position was, you're ill, or they thought I was being too extreme, or, you know, there was always something. But again, that's kind of me, and I'm kind of projecting this judgment from them back onto myself. But I do think it's hard for people, and I really struggle. I get the whole, and we see it in the groups a lot, you know, if you've got toxic people in your life, cut them out. Okay, we see that a lot.
Yeah.
But where I struggle with that, and I've only ever pushed back on that once, and I kind of got shot down, so I don't tend to say it anymore. But my friends didn't see it. So they will look at pictures of my before and after now, and they're shocked at where I was. And actually, they didn't see it. My closest friends, who I'm, you know, still my closest friends now, just did not see how big I was. And they only know that now, looking back, compared to how I am now. And actually, I think one of the things that comes through in those transformations is that people feel a little bit of guilt, and they don't quite know how to interact with someone that's going through that transformation. Because, you know, all of a sudden, people that had lived with me when I was sort of, you know, 320 pounds, whatever it was, they never challenged me on that. And it's because they didn't see it. But actually, now they're dealing with the guilt of, why didn't we try and help him? Is that making sense? So actually,
no, yeah.
It's not that they're being toxic. And I love these guys dearly. And, you know, cutting them out of my life would be the worst mistake possible. But they really struggle with the fact that they didn't try to help me and they didn't see that I needed help really badly at that point. So they carry all this guilt for not supporting me through that transformation. And the way that comes through is to try and protect me when they see that I'm losing weight. So that's where the comments of you've lost too much, you're too thin, you're looking really gaunt, you know, are you pushing too far? That's almost overcompensating for the fact that they didn't help me when I was bigger. So I really struggle with that idea of cutting people out because I think, you know, as there's a risk that we become overjudgmental on other people when, you know, they're struggling with our transformation and the changes in us almost as much as we are. Does that make sense? Sorry, I should point out, it's 3:15 in the morning now. I've been up for nearly 22 hours. So if I'm not as eloquent as some of your other guests, then I'm really, really sorry.
No.
But I hope that makes sense.
I appreciate it. No, I love the fact you brought up that point. And I dealt with that too when I lost weight. I got really into it. And I'm going to be honest. I've seen other people lose weight. There is a very big contrast, and it looks awkward at first. People grow into their weight loss. So to the outside person, it looks like I was sick. I look at pictures of me then when I lost all the weight and I hadn't really adjusted physically and I look sick and I know they care about me. And, you know, I'm going to be honest too. It's like I said, but I kind of got a little bit defensive and I kind of thought a little bit much of myself and would kind of, you know, get argumentative with people that probably just had my best interest at heart. And I love that you said that because I think – you know, unless it's a real, like, an abusive situation or something like that, cutting people out of your life, you know, they're going to have moments, I'm going to have moments where I'm not my best, and I think cutting people out in that situation is a shitty thing to do to a friend, unless it's a real, you know, serious situation. But, you know, it is. I'm not going to lie and say that it's not a physical, it's drastic, it's contrasting, and if you're not used to seeing me like that, I can understand you thinking I'm sick, and you're probably looking out for me just like I'm looking out for everyone else.
Absolutely. I'm pleased. Just for the sake of clarity, because I wouldn't want anyone to think I'm judging here either, there are situations where it's right to do that and where it's right to break ties with people. There are situations where it's right to do that. For me, I just struggle with it a little bit because if I'd done that, that would have been the absolutely worst thing I could have done.
Absolutely.
So on the flip side of this, part of the conversation that you guys have been having is here I am standing, I have a medical issue. And the thing that I have learned, and maybe this applies, Steve, maybe you can think about it too, is that I have gotten really, really good at a smile can hide a whole lot.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I think we're really good at projecting, aren't we? Portraying a version of ourselves that hides what's going on behind the surface.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can see I was very guilty of that for a very long time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And you know, when you do that, it is hard for people to get to know you because people don't know, you know, the struggle. People don't know that you're miserable being fat when you're laughing all the time and having a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to the point where you're like, I don't even know me. You know, I'm just putting on this, you know, everything's cool all the time. But, you know, you took a chance and you bet on yourself, you know.
Yeah.
There's wrestling on TV right now, by the way. I've got an old wrestling channel. The Killer Bees are on right now. I just want to.
You're kidding me. You're kidding me.
No, I'll take a picture right here. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, but that's weird. But no, and you know, eventually you get to the point where you decide that you want to figure it out and you want to put the effort in and try to make these changes. And all of your life before this, you've been one way, and now you've got to figure out another way to live. How did you kind of make that first, you know, change? How did that come about? And like, not how to come up, but how did you ease into that? Was it something you jumped in all at once, or was it a process to get you to be a healthy person?
Yeah, I'm kind of an all or nothing guy. So, you know, I'm still like that a little bit with nutrition in that I know that I've got certain trigger foods. So white bread is one of those. ice cream is one of those. So I kind of have to be, you know, I can't touch those because I know if I start with those, I'm not stopping. So generally, once I've got my mind set on something, I'll stick to it. And this is the first program that has helped me do that and helped me stick to it. But that, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't keep learning lessons along the way, does it? So I think one of the things that I know I've kind of pulled myself up a little bit on over the last couple of years is I've always been so fixated on what the end point is. So whether that is a number on a scale or a size of clothes that I want to fit into, whatever it might be, I've been so fixated on that end point, almost to the point of obsession, and I forget to just enjoy living. So, you know, we talk about it like a grind, don't we? And people will say, yeah, back on the grind. It shouldn't be a grind. And I've been in that position where I've been grinding before, and it's because that end goal has always seemed so far off. So I've always felt right. I'm not doing enough here. I need to do more. So which it historically for me has either translated into I either need to eat less or I need to work out more. And that's the point where you stop enjoying what you're doing, and it becomes almost something that you do begrudgingly. And, you know, I know that was the case for me. And I've read a book last year, and you'll see when I post in groups online, you'll see you normally put the hashtag Let's Dance on it. And the reason for that is I read a book last year, and a quote that has just stuck with me says that life is supposed to be like a piece of music dancing. And for me, chasing my goals and chasing that end point that never comes, because even when we get close to it, we decide to move the goalposts a bit, don't we? So we decide we want to do something else or go a little bit further, whatever it might be, but that end point never comes. And then if we're so fixated on that end point and trying to work harder and harder to get to it, then there's a risk that we become utterly miserable while we're trying to achieve it. And, you know, I've always taken that view, you know, if I'm miserable for 10 years to get to 170 pounds, have I won or not? You know, I might have hit 170 pounds, but I've got 10 years of my life where I've just not enjoyed myself, and I've not made memories with my wife and my kids. And I just think it's all about that balance. So for me, what I'm trying to do now, and the big lesson I've learned, because I am that all or nothing guy, is I just need to stop, smell the roses, enjoy my workouts. So, you know, I always say to people, you know, those moments where an instructor on the app gets something wrong, call them out on it, shout at them, curse at them, laugh at them, you know, interact with what you're doing. Make it a fun activity for you as well. Get yourself out of this mindset where you're doing it because you feel you have to do it, and do it because you enjoy doing it. And sometimes, you know, we say fake it till you make it, don't we? Sometimes we have to fake that enjoyment until we get into a pattern where we are actually genuinely enjoying it. So yeah, for me, it wasn't a gradual process. It was I've now got to make changes. And like I said, that was all motivated by not wanting to die early. And obviously I'm 46 now. I hit that point 3 years ago where I outlived my dad. And at that point, my eldest was the age that I was when my dad died as well. So it was a really poignant year for us that year. But I'm now confident that what I've done has put me in a position where, you know, anything could happen. Literally anything could happen. But I've done everything I can to be here for as long as I can. Did I answer your question? Wow. I'm not entirely sure I did.
No, that was perfect. No, that's beautiful, man. And you know, I don't know your dad, but you know, I'm sure he would have you know, wanted you to really try to change that pattern. And with your kid as well, that's a lot of love going into that process, because it's not just for you. It's not just to look the best in this outfit or, you know, be able to do this cool thing. It's family. It's life or death. That's the real shit right there.
Yes, absolutely. And Resurrection of Jake the Snake, my history is not my destiny. That's what drives me.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's perfect. And you know, also, you talked about the end goal, you being fixated on the end goal quite a while. And you know, I was a big guy. You know, I was as big as you were, and we were, you know, growing up. And when you first start to change and try to lose that weight, you forget how much fun it actually is. Because it's not just the end goal. It's all the steps along the way. It's doing this. Oh, I can tie my shoes easier. Oh, I can wear this now. I can go on an amusement park ride. You're having those moments every day. What were some of those that really just stuck with you along the way? Not just the end game, but, you know, the small realizations that I'm being better, I'm becoming better, I'm becoming healthier.
Yeah, I think for me, it was what I was able to do with my family more than anything else. So the fact that I could run around with the kids, the fact that I could go out for bike rides with them, you know, during lockdowns back in 2020, when we had our sort of daily release from being in the house, they'd be on their bikes, I'd be running alongside with them. And, you know, I couldn't have even imagined doing that a few years ago. So doing those sort of things, building those memories, you know, 2 weekends ago, I went back to a theme park for probably the first time since I got removed from a ride. So I took my girls there and we rode roller coasters together. And it's those moments that you just think, actually, do you know what? I'm doing okay. You still got to fight that am I enough thing. And one of the things that I fight a lot is, do I belong here? Because, you know, when you get kicked off roller coasters, you think this is a place that is not meant for people like me. So, you know, it's celebrating those things where you think, actually, I belong here. And so things like that. But also, if I can name check a few people, if that's OK, because they've helped me celebrate those milestones as well. And there are a lot of people that I don't want to name everybody because I'll forget someone and they'll get upset and I realize we're running out of time. I've got an accountability crew here. We call the Creaky Blinders, named after the Peaky Blinders, but, you know, our knees crack when we go up and downstairs. But people like Dale Herring, like Grant Brown, like Dorothy Dodge Freitag, we've been together through Tom Wallant's 100-day challenges. We've probably been through 6 of those together now. So absolute stalwarts. And they're the people that I can be really honest with and will challenge me and uphold me as well. So I'm massively grateful for them. And they help me realize what I'm able to do now that I couldn't do before. So that having those people around that give you that positive reinforcement is really important. Naryn Flanders, Naz, was my level one mentor. Without her, I would not be an instructor. And what she did was very, very factually, very forcefully as well. And if you know Naz, you'll know she can be quite forthright. But she did it with a lot of kindness and grace as well, helped me identify where I'd gone completely off track with my certification and gently guided me back to where I want to be. And since then, I've got to know her a whole lot better. And, you know, her husband, Matt, is just awesome as well. Really got a huge amount of time for them. Wendy Ilski, who you will know as a Positive Unstoppable champion, has just been incredible for the last couple of years. So we kind of built a friendship during the challenge where she went on to become a champion. And, you know, she has just been such a brilliant support ever since. And you'll know that, again, she doesn't pull any punches and is just awesome. And then lastly, and I do want to say this because it's ridiculously important to me. So many of you will know Boz Bozzi-Alone and Lavinia Calbury, and we're speaking on the 8th of May, isn't it? And the 1 year anniversary of Boz's death, is on Saturday. And of all the people that I've come across in the community, they took a terrified guy that joined their online workouts during lockdowns, who turned up at their house for a get-together and made me feel like I'd known them for my entire life. And, you know, you talk about belonging. They've made me feel like I belonged. They're brilliant instructors, the biggest advocates of DDPY that you will ever find on this planet. And no one, and I mean no one, lived out that maxim that you should never underestimate the power you give someone by believing in them more than Boz. You know, I wouldn't be in this program if he didn't believe in me at a point where I didn't believe in myself. And he's one of those guys that gave me opportunities to test and challenge myself, because he knew that I probably wouldn't be brave enough to do it unless he pushed me. And he was absolutely relentless in his support of me. He was a beacon of the UK community here, massively missed, and we all need to be more like him. And part of what drives me to try and support people, particularly here in the UK, is because of the way that he supported me. So I'm sorry. Again, no. I don't really think I answered your question, but I needed to say that.
No. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. And, you know, Boz is very much missed. I didn't know him as well as most, but, you know, I talk to Hayden every day, and he still remembers him all the time. We talk about him, and he seemed like a really sweetheart of a man.
Absolutely. Absolutely that. And you know, part of my mission now is to build up the community in the UK, because he was this magnet around whom everyone in the UK gravitated. I'll never fill those boots. I'm realistic about that. But one of the things that drove me to be here at 3 o'clock in the morning talking to you is we don't tell our stories enough here in the UK. We need to do that more. It helps us reinforce our journeys. But if doing this can help someone else who might have experienced something similar as well, you know, I just want people to talk, to share, because it's so helpful.
Well, beautifully said. And they're going to kick us off here in about 5 minutes,
yeah.
So I want to give you a chance,
yeah,
to wrap up. But I would love for you to come back and talk to us. It was such a joy talking to you, man. And if you ever get a chance down the line, we'd love to have you back with her follow-up and try to do it right. This time, probably, I'll try to figure out everything ahead of time. I know the cross-country lines is kind of tricky, but, no, it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I really appreciate you staying up late. I know that's quite the challenge now.
Yeah, but that call comes in. You don't turn down the opportunity to come and talk to you guys, regardless of the time zone, regardless of anything else that's going on. I'm massively honored that you asked me to come and speak to you, and I'm hugely grateful for giving me that opportunity to tell my story. So thank you very much.
You are very
thank you.
Welcome.
Crystal, we got just a couple more minutes. Do you want to, you have anything else, or do you want to start wrapping up, or?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say I am so incredibly proud of you, Steve. I feel like I've gotten to know you really, really well from the homework that I've done, and then all the stuff that you so graciously sent over. I feel like I know you already. So from one friend to another, I'm very proud of you. Please keep up the great work.
You guys keep up the great work too. Keep doing what you do, because the work that you do is a massive benefit to this community. So thank you very much.
Thank you, man. And you, just to wrap things up on a funny note, you talked about the roller coaster situation. A few years ago, I was seeing this girl, and I was trying to make a good impression. I took her to this big amusement park in outside of Boston. It was Six Flags, and they had the big Superman roller coaster. And I was scared as hell to go on. And I went on, I got the mustard, and then they kicked me off. And so I looked like an idiot in front of my girlfriend because I was too fat. And I yelled out, I said, "Superman can hoist a jet in the air, but he can't hoist my fat ass over a hill." I made a little bit of a scene. So we didn't go on a second date. Well, on that note, thank you so much, Steve,
awesome,
for coming on with us. And we're going to wrap things up with Crystal has a quote of the week, and then we'll see you guys next week. Thank
yep.
you for hanging on, and we'll do it again soon.
Awesome. I'd love to do that. Thank you very much. Take care.
Awesome. Crystal?
Yes. So this quote I found when I was – sorry. The best views come from the hardest climb.
Just like Superman couldn't climb my fat ass over that roller coaster hill. Thank you so much, Crystal. I appreciate you sticking with me. It was a little bit messy, but we got through, and I'm so glad we did. Steve was great. So thank you so much, Crystal.
You are so welcome.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Brand new episode of DDP Radio Live. We're out.
We're out.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.